does have it all. All of our pre-owned vehicles are Hubler Q certified, which include a 128-point vehicle inspection, a free Carfax vehicle history report, and two warranties. A two-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and a 30-day, 1,000-mile comprehensive warranty. Visit any of our 13 locations today, or click drivehubler.com. Hubler has it all.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. I'm Bob Lovell. This is brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Coming up, we're going to talk some high school basketball with Mike Broughton from the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series, some racing with Mark James and Chris and Adam Alexander, Pacers with Chris Denary, plus others. Right now, though, he's the star of our show tonight because he's got all the info. It's Network Indiana's Nathaniel Finch.
With you from our downtown Indianapolis studios, along with Kylan Talley, our studio producer. Boy, we have got a loaded show, as you just said. Plenty of MLB scores to get to, including a big comeback for the Chicago Cubs, the Reds on top as well. We're going to talk some Pacers. They're on the road for their first playoff game tomorrow. Plenty of other NBA scores to get to as well. NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, Colts draft approaching, IU basketball, big news there. We have got plenty to talk about. Let's start with some baseball. I just talked about it. The Reds game, it just went final. 7-5, they defeat the Los Angeles Angels. That one from Great American Ballpark. The Guardians win 6-3 over the Athletics. The White Sox fall 9-5 in Philadelphia. We've got some other scores there as well. Brewers defeat the Cardinals 12-5. That one, your beloved Cardinals taking the loss in St. Louis. Cubs playing a doubleheader today. They lost the first one 3-2, and they were down 3-1 in the bottom of the sixth. They just put up a four spot. It's a 5-3 Cubs lead. We'll have plenty from that game as they lead the Marlins by two runs. Now the top of the seventh. Plenty more to get to. I'm Nathaniel Finch.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Glad you could join us. All right, Nathaniel Finch, you were studio producer last night. Scoreboard anchor tonight. Is there anything you cannot do on this show?
Hey, whatever you need, Coach, I'm here.
All right, hold that thought. Nathaniel Finch, Kai Talley working. They're making this possible. The Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series is the best event of its kind in the nation, in the world. The game director for the Indiana side, Mike Broughton, joins us. Coach, thanks for taking time. Congratulations again on teams. You've been a very, very busy man this basketball season.
Well, there's a lot of travel, as we all do, I think, that are still involved in high school basketball.
And right.
I got to see a lot of great games, a lot of great tournament games, the Marion County tournament in this January. And so it was another great year of basketball. And the state finals, I was able to do some of those games on television and different things throughout the tournament. And it was just a lot of fun to watch. And so now, for the next 6-7 weeks, it gets pretty busy here trying to do all the logistics to have the all-star team at Marion for 3 or 4 days. And then we play down in Lexington Catholic on a Friday night, June 7th, and we'll play up here at Gainbridge on June 8th.
It is one of those situations, Mike, where every year it's a difficult thing to do is to put together a roster. I thought we had a very impressive senior class this year, and it's hard to make those decisions. And we'll always try to tell people the key here is you're putting together a roster that can beat Kentucky in two games, and Kentucky, by all indications, has a pretty solid senior class themselves. And so it's an exciting job, an important job, but it's also one where the downside is you can't put everybody on that you'd like to.
Well, this is my sixth team I had to pick and be involved in for the boys as well as the girls. And in the boys' side especially, usually the break-off by the end of the season when the tournament's going on is about 24 kids. This year, I think it was over 30 kids that with a week to go could have possibly made the All-Star team. So it was more than I've ever had to face as being the mm-hmm. All-Star director. And so it's a decision made by I have a committee that helps me. Then the coaches that we choose for the girls and the boys All-Star teams are involved in the decision. And then in the end, like you said, you coached a you know, coach college teams, and I had to go out and recruit, and I was a head college coach. And so you got to find some defenders. You got to find some shooters. You need some size. And then the bottom kids, whoever they are, which you never know going in. And the year I coached the Indiana All-Star team, the 13th player that I picked for my team ended up being the captain and the most valuable player. So, you know, they have to share the time, and they're all stars when they play in their high school teams, but they have to learn to sit. They have to learn to play. They got to learn to distribute the ball. And so I think those 3 or 4 days when they practice against each other and then play Kentucky, who has a number of Division I players this year, I think it really gives them a heads up for going on to college that following week and jumping into, like, you know, Jack Benner going to Purdue, or Florida going to Kansas. It gives them a chance to kind of figure things out. And I've had a number of all-stars call me and write me notes that, you know, that week gave me a head start jumping into it. So there's a lot of positives. And it also is tradition, as well as, you know, it's 85 years old now. And we're just hoping that we have a big draw. People come and enjoy the experience of those games. We have all-star games all throughout the week. We have a junior play seniors at Kokomo High School on Wednesday, June the 5th. And then we've also added a futures game where the best freshmen and sophomores in the state of Indiana play each other at Hamilton Southeastern on that Monday. And then on Sunday, down here at Scottsburg, our juniors, our best Indiana juniors, and the girls and the boys play the best Kentucky juniors at Scottsburg, Indiana on Sunday. I believe that's June the 2nd. So there's games all week. A lot of kids are involved. A lot of schools are represented. A lot of coaches. I think there's close to 20 coaches that help me coach the games. And I think it's great for Indiana. And I know you know that because you've been around a long time and have really been a big supporter of Indiana basketball. Right. There's no state like this. I mean, we're the only ones left.
Hey, Mike, I need you to – Mike, hang on. I'm sorry to interrupt. I need you to hang on through this short break, okay?
Okay, it sounds good.
Perfect. We'll come back, talk more basketball with Mike Broughton, the game director of the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star matchup coming up soon. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Before the break, we were talking with Mike Broughton, the game director of the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star matchups. Yeah, I mean, it's not too early to talk about this, is it, Mike? We can always talk about the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star games, can't we?
Well, I start working on it in November, so it's quite a few months, and we're getting that down to where we picked the teams. Mr. Basketball is going to be announced next week. Miss Basketball, Chloe Spreen of Bedford's already been chosen.
Right.
And so we now get into each team, the girls and the boys, will have one practice before the end of the school year. And then first week in June, we meet together at Marion University, and we practice for 3 days to get ready for these games. And so it's a great experience for the coaches. You know, we have a lot of the high school coaches that coach this game, and I know I had one particular that said, that's the first time I coached a college game. You know, it's 94-foot floor. There's a shot clock. And as you and I well know, in high school, if you got a 6-point lead, and to go, you're in good shape. In college, you could get beat by 7 because of the shot clock.
Yeah, no. So yeah.
It's different.
It is different. Well, let's talk. You're going to announce Mr. Basketball next week. We talk about individuals, and we talk about putting the roster together. You have some really talented players. You mentioned Jack Benter, tremendous career, headed to Purdue at Brownstown Central. Flory Badunga, as you mentioned, headed to Kansas. So you got, you know, not every year the All-Stars have a presence in the post that they have with Flory Badunga. What a great bonus for us.
Well, it sure is. And when we played Kentucky last year in the juniors, they out-rebounded us 64-40. But we didn't have Flory at that game because we split the juniors up, half play the Kentucky All-Stars and half play the Indiana seniors. And so I think Flory will close that gap a little bit. Now, they did beat us by about 14 points last year. And so we got our work cut out for us. But I think we picked a really good team. I think we got, you know, I think we got shooters. The worst shooter from the perimeter is 35% from three. And then we got size inside with Badunga, and we also got size with his teammate, Rogers, at Kokomo, as well as Toronado down at Evansville Memorial. And then I think one of the most improved players, you know, by far was Keenan, Keenan Garner from Fishers, who ended up signing at IUPUI the other day, which I think he's an outstanding post player. He's only 6'6", 6'7", but shoot the three, drive it. And what I've noticed about him more than anything is he's a leader, and hopefully he'll be one of the leaders of this team.
You know, you also have Jack Benter, who was outstanding. Isaac Andrews from Wapahani. Those two guys, I think, you know, you talk about perimeter guys being able to knock down shots. You have the post presence we talked about. You do have some perimeter players who literally have unlimited range.
Well, I think when you have a guy like Flora, you've got to spread the court. And you got to let him be able to work and then to see what Kentucky's going to do. Are they going to double? Are they going to play him straight up and whatever? And so we'll get to see that. And then in the girls' side of it, you know, this is a year where, besides Chloe, 12 of the 13 girls signed Division One, and that's more than normal. We'll have some Division Two players and so forth. But this year we've got them going to Michigan State. We've got them going to a number of Big Ten schools, as well as Chloe's going to Alabama. And so I just, you know, I think the success of this game, if it's going to make 100 years, is just the amount of people that we can get throughout the state that will come and support the game, because the Pacers have been great. Gainbridge has been great. Marion University's fantastic. The Indianapolis Star has helped us. And so it's now COVID's kind of in the mirror now behind us, and we've built the crowd since COVID, and so we hope we can continue to build it another 1,000 or so this coming year. I think it's a great evening. I know you've been supportive of high school basketball for many, many years, and so hopefully the people of the state of Indiana will want to keep this tradition alive.
Mike Broughton, the game director of the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star matchup. Mike, I appreciate the time. We'll do this again. Thanks so much.
Nathaniel Finch here on our Monument Circle Studios in downtown Indianapolis. And before we get to more scores, we've got plenty of them for you. How about the big news out of Indiana basketball? A huge win down in Bloomington. They just landed another top 10 player in the portal. Stanford transfer Cannon Carlisle joining the Hoosiers this season. He's heading into his sophomore year, 6'3 guard, just averaged 11.5 points per game. One of the top freshmen in the Pac-12 a year ago. Another big recruit for Mike Woodson. Good for Woody and the Indiana Hoosiers. All right, let's get to some baseball. Some scores here. Still live. The Cubs, top of the eighth now. They lead the Marlins 5-3 at Wrigley Field. They lost the first doubleheader by a run. They were down by two runs just an inning ago. They have a furious comeback, and now they're ahead 5-3 over Miami. Looking at some other scores in Major League Baseball, the Reds just defeated the Angels 7-5, Guardians 6-3 over the A's, the Brewers 12-5 over the Cardinals, Twins defeat the Tigers 4-3, Phillies over the White Sox 9-5, Zach Wheeler had a no-hit bid through seven innings. White Sox, a furious comeback, five run in the ninth inning. They couldn't get it done, though, 9-5, that final score. In AAA, still ongoing, although the Indians are down quite a bit at Victory Field. 12-1, bottom of the ninth. They need to get their rally caps on for the Indians. They were winners of four straight. Now they're down big to the St. Paul Saints. Not much better in High A. The Beloit Sky Carp defeat the South Bend Cubs 10-7. I'm sure we'll hear from Brennan King on that one later. The Fort Wayne Tin Caps, they do defeat Dayton 7-5. They win over the Dragons. I'm Nathaniel Finch.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. DrivenToSaveLives.org is their extremely important website. We're so glad you're with us. All right, Nathaniel Finch, you're the man tonight. So Thursday night we have, am I correct? We get started with the NFL draft on Thursday.
That's right, Thursday night, 8 o'clock.
And you know what? Long before they'll go ahead and take, you know, they'll take the entire week. They'll keep creeping up. Used to be Friday and Saturday. Now it's Thursday. Friday and Saturday. They'll get an extra day in there in the not-too-distant future. And so what's the speculation on where the Colts are headed draft-wise? I know you pay much more attention to this than I do.
I'll tell you what, Chris Ballard was speaking yesterday, and for one, he says that the Colts have about 19 to 21 first-round grades on players. So obviously you got 32 picks in the first round. He thinks that, you know, you only have 19 to 21 players worthy of that first-round pick. So my guess, knowing Chris Ballard, his eight-year tenure, probably going to trade back to that 19, 20, 21 spot, still take a first-rounder, pick up, you know, a second-round pick, maybe a second and a third in this year's draft, trading back. You know, he loves to do that, and maybe take someone on defense. They really need a corner. Obviously, the flashy pick would be to say maybe look for a Brock Bowers out of Georgia, the tight end. Maybe you look for a wide receiver. Brian Johnson from LSU is a good fit there. Mm-hmm. But we all know Chris Ballard, and we know how poorly that secondary played. He did say that he thinks that they've all grown up, they're going to play better, but you need to add a high-level corner in this draft. It's either going to come in the first round or the second.
They have some good young talent in the defensive backfield, but I would think, you know, I'm not a football coach. My guess is you can never have too much because injuries are always a factor in that game.
And you never want to let other teams dictate what you do. But, I mean, shoot, the Texans, who just defeated them, won the division, got to host a playoff game. They just traded for Stephon Diggs. You're going to need to find a way to defend him because they were struggling to defend the rest of the receivers. Now you've got a high-level five-star player. You need to find someone on the back end who can help defend players like that.
So it's too early to speculate about particular people, but you mentioned it. They could be looking at cornerbacks, also looking at wide receivers, don't you think? Maybe add, if they can, to that stable?
Well, here's, you're likely going to get a receiver and a corner picked first round, second round, something of that. And like I said, I'd mentioned the tight end Brock Bowers. You can almost count him as a receiver. The way that he can make plays, whether he's lined up right off the tackle, in the slot, outside, you're going to get a pass catcher in the first two rounds, I believe, and a cornerback is my guess as well, because those are the two biggest needs. And as far as corner, I mean, especially in that range around 15, and even if they trade back a few spots,
right.
Quinyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold are the two names that everyone's hearing that, you know, really would fit well with the Colts at corner if they wanted to go the first round. And with the depth at wide receiver, and you know this, Coach, you can take one in the second round, heck, even the third round. Michael Pittman was a second-round pick in 2020. You can get guys later in the draft with how deep this class is. I wouldn't be surprised if they go and pick one of those two corners.
There you have it. Nathaniel Finch, what are you, a draft expert now? I like it. I like the sound of that.
I told you, whatever you need,
draft
Coach.
Draft expert Nathaniel. No, I like it. So, you know, but what's exciting is that it gets people already generating enthusiasm about this football team. And I just think that that's much deserved. I think everyone, you know, we kind of let down last year with the early injury to Anthony Richardson. And now gearing back up, just anticipating what they're hopeful of being a tremendously successful season. And I think it's always subject to what happens injury-wise. Last year, a perfect example of it. But if they can stay relatively healthy, I think this team can put together an impressive year, quite frankly.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chris Ballard, I'm sure he's sick of picking in the top 15. He's ready for some picks in the late 20s, so we'll see if that's the case. Make us wait a little bit longer on Thursday night next year.
All right, change topics. Pacers tomorrow. I was watching a little bit of ball today. I think these guys, listen, I think they're going to do well. In this series, you know, injuries notwithstanding, the Giannis and whatever, I still think they're going to do well in this matchup with the Bucks.
Well, throughout the rest of the NBA, like you mentioned, you saw some today, the home teams have been winning and almost dominating. Mm-hmm. The game going on right now, Lakers on the road, they do have a 3-point lead at halftime, but it's been the home teams to win so far today. But this is not your typical series, right? Like you mentioned, Bucks are a 3 seed. but they played their last few games without Giannis. If he played, then likely they'd be a number two seed. They kind of spiraled out of control at the end of the year. I mean, you're banged up. Your next best player, Damian Lillard, an all-world talent, he's kind of banged up. He's, you know, not 100%. So it is going to be interesting to see. I agree with you. I think they're going to play well. I think they're going to come out with all the confidence in the world. When you take 4 or 5 in the regular season, you say, hey, this may be different. This is playoffs. This is different. But we know that we can, at the very least, beat these guys, and we have before, and we've done it 4 times out of 5.
Yeah, 4 out of 5, and it was impressive in how they did it. I mean, in large part because they were just offensively unstoppable in some of those wins, were they not? They were really impressive on the offensive end, which they have been at a large part of most of this season.
That, and you just got better when you add Pascal Siakam. He can defend Giannis some more. He can give you all the offense. Those 4 wins were without Pascal Siakam on the floor. So really curious to see how, you know, that plays out. And I'd be absolutely shocked if we saw Giannis tomorrow. They haven't officially ruled him out. But when you say beginning of the week, six days away, that he's probably not going to play, that, and it makes it hard for him to play. But, you know, if you can steal a game or two here in Milwaukee, all of a sudden, you bring it back to Gainbridge Fieldhouse. You get us Pacers fans getting fired up in the Fieldhouse, and you know it can be a good series win here. Pacers haven't won a series in quite some time. Has it been since 2015, something like that? 2016, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Right. We'll find out. All right, every 15 minutes, Nathaniel Finch. He's coming up at the top of the hour with a big-time scoreboard update. Great job, Nathaniel. Glad you're with us, having fun tonight. Thank you so much. Coming up, we have a lot tonight. We have a lot of racing. Mark Janes will join us in the next hour talking about IndyCar at Long Beach. Adam Alexander will talk to us about NASCAR, as he likes to do. You know, he's very involved with the Xfinity. He's the lead announcer for the Xfinity series and the host of NASCAR Race Hub on FS1. Plus, we'll talk some baseball, as we always do. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.